Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, July 6th. Stephanie's pissed off. Not at me, though. Thank goodness.
I get me when I'm pissed. Good morning, Sam. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Another hot day in L.A. We're sweltering hot here. But and yesterday was a bit humid, too.
I know. And, it was like Chicago.
Yeah, 10 o'clock already, 85, 90 degrees out there. So we won't bore you with that.
But yes, I am pissed, Sam. You're right.
Are you pissed?
I'm
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the trial in just a second. Okay. I wanted to tease our guest for today. We're going to talk to the CEO of Ashley Madison.
Yes.
The name is Noel Biderman, or Biderman, I don't know. But this is a website that helps people cheat, and we're going to talk to him about it and see what's going on. So,
cool.
So that's our guest for today. And, Stephanie, so the podium is yours. Tell us what it is that makes you angry about the trial.
Well,
could it be the verdict?
It could be, Sam. It could be the verdict, yes. I don't know about anybody else. Well, actually, I do know quite a lot of people are pissed about it. And you posted something on Facebook yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody. There was so many comments, which was,
they were.
Which was great. I don't think anybody was saying that they were happy with the outcome.
No, I don't think so. No.
And my biggest thing is, like, who's speaking up for the child?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
There's no justice done for the child. But I said to my dad yesterday, because my dad is fuming, and he's like yelling at me on the phone, and I'm like, Dad, I didn't do anything. Like, if I was on the jury, I would convict her. But I was saying to him, like, this just shows flaws in our justice system.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these jurors are up there, and I understand that it's beyond a reasonable doubt that they can convict her, right? But maybe, obviously, people had doubts about it, so they didn't.
Yeah.
But that's just showing our justice system having holes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe from this, mm-hmm. something will be done about it, because this is complete bullshit, I'm sorry to say. But I can't sit back and you know, this has happened before. You know, Andrea Yates killed her 5 kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they declared her insane.
Right.
Okay, so she's insane. This woman is completely normal. She's competent. Like, she knows what she's doing. And for her to do this and get away with it, to kill a 2-year-old, her daughter, is unheard of.
Do you know that she killed her?
I believe that she did.
You believe, but you don't know.
I believe.
You see, that's the
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
The juries can't
said.
Believe, you know?
This is what I just said. It's beyond. This is what's wrong with our justice system.
Why is it wrong, though?
Because it's just beyond reasonable doubt. But the thing is if everything is pointing, like, if I, you know, for you to sit there and in your gut, do you believe that she's guilty?
I believe she's guilty,
okay.
You know, but the point is, I'm trying to look at it from the justice point of view, because I would like to believe that our justice system works, you know. And what I'm saying still is, the prosecution did not answer the questions. How did Kaylee die? And who killed, you know, how did she die?
Right.
They couldn't show that. And they couldn't show that, they couldn't connect
the dots. They couldn't connect the
dots. Casey to the body.
Right.
You know, they couldn't do that. And, you know, and the thing is that there's a lot of debate on, you know, what really happened and stuff. But I think there's that doubt that nobody can answer those questions.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, like an expert on TV last night said, you know, it's easy to sit at the dinner table and judge someone and stuff. But when you're in the jury room, you really have to look at the
evidence,
at the facts and so forth. And I personally feel the prosecution did not do a good job. You know, I don't think it was necessarily great defense at all.
Right.
You know, when he comes up there and he calls his client a slut
and a liar,
right. That's not great defense, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, they did celebrate afterwards, but I think the prosecution did not have, like you said, they couldn't connect the dots.
Right. And I understand that. And I'm seeing it from both sides. I just, I feel like, you know, what they did have was... Everybody, I don't think there's one person in the world that believes that. I even think she thinks she's guilty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand how somebody could, you know, go 30 days without reporting their daughter missing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, none of this adds up.
Right.
And that's where I think everybody's instinct kicks in and says, she's guilty. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a parent. But I know if my dog is missing for 5 minutes outside,
right.
If I don't hear my dog outside, okay, and I can say this, if I don't hear them outside, and I live in a place where I have a fenced-in yard, but if I don't hear them outside, I'm like, Bodie, Fred, where are you? 5 minutes goes by, I'm on it. Where are they?
Yeah.
None of this adds up, and I understand what you're saying, and I think that. You know, with that being said, and I understand that this our justice system then, you know, helps people that, you know, if there is evidence like this and, you know, it's all pointing to her, but it's not proven, then you're saving innocent people sometimes. But I just don't believe that she's innocent. I mean, look at OJ. He walks away, you know, doing what he did.
Right.
And they didn't convict him.
Right.
You know, obviously karma paid and whatever. There was a couple of people I talked to yesterday that said, you know, that they wouldn't be surprised if something happened to her or her family, you know, because of this, because people are so outraged by this, because what it comes down to, what angers me beyond belief is there's no justice for her daughter. None.
Right.
You know, she's going to walk free. They're talking about book deals, movie deals already.
Right.
She is going to bank off this.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like OJ. If she is fucked up like that, she's going to fuck up again, you know? And when she does, you know, she's going to get her day in court, you know, but because that's the kind of people those are, you know. But, you know, we can't know, you know. But my question is this. Even if Kaylee drowned, you know, wouldn't you still point at the mom? I mean, where was her mom when she drowned?
Exactly.
You know? And, you know, what the hell is going on there, you know? So why was she in the pool by herself or whatever's going on, you know? I don't think the defense answered that.
No. No, but it seems like you're right. Like, the case was so, I mean, it was just, obviously it wasn't, you know, the best case in the world here, but, you know, they didn't seem to really do their job that well. But, you know, it just doesn't, none of this adds up. And I think that what hurt me yesterday is just not that I'm sitting here wishing death upon this woman, but I can't see, what's hard for me is I can't see somebody, and especially a child, murdered like this by their own mother, what we think, and get away with it. And nothing's done for the daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Nothing's done. That's what hurts me the most, is that this woman just gets away with it. And her family, who, you know what I mean? They're all involved somehow.
Yeah.
You know, I really at first did not think that the parents had anything to do with it. Yeah. Now I think they do.
Really?
I think the whole family has something to do with it.
Yeah, maybe there's some secrets there. Who knows?
But that's it. This is done for her. She can't be convicted again. You know, and they just said on here that, you know, they did find her guilty of lying to the police.
Right.
Okay, so now they said, you know, she has to go in front of a judge on Thursday, and the maximum sentence would be 1 year for her for lying. But they even said,
I thought it's like up to 4 years, but she's got some time served, so
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So it would be, they just said like
1 year.
1 year.
Right.
Because she already served 3 years.
Right.
And they said they don't think that the judge is going to give her a year because she's already served her time.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, many experts think she's just going to walk free on Thursday. So You know, we'll see.
It amazes me.
Yeah.
It amazes me that, you know, after all of this, now she's going to be getting book deals and just cashing in on this. And, I don't wish death upon anybody, but I can't sit here and be okay with somebody living when they do something like that.
Yeah.
That just makes me sick.
Yeah.
So I am not a happy camper. I was really, really, I was more sad and upset and hurt than I was.
Yeah. I think most people were stunned. You know, it was a shocker. And because everybody already started planning what happens to her after the trial and all that. And, you know, I mean, it just, what makes me wonder is how 12 people, you know, if they all decide, I mean, it's hard to get 12 people to agree on anything,
exactly.
You know. But so I figure, you know, if they could agree on this, maybe they have a point, you know. I don't know. Either that or there's 12 dummies sitting there, but I can't imagine, you know.
I you know, again, it's yes, you're right. Like, the prosecution couldn't connect all the dots together, but everything's pointing to her. And you have to think, like, the biggest thing here is, how could a girl, a two-year-old, go missing for 30 days?
Right.
30, that is, 5 minutes is a long time,
right.
Okay? But 30 days, a two-year-old can go missing, and the mother in that time can have a wet t-shirt contest, get a tattoo, does whatever else she does, and there's nothing, there's no report about it, there's no... Hey, I'm going to freak out that my 2-year-old daughter's missing.
Right.
That's where, as a juror member, I would be like, this is not normal behavior.
Right. It's not, but it's not evidence that she killed the daughter either, you know? That's what I'm saying.
I know.
And it's like, in our heart, we know that she did it, but at the same time, you know, from a legal perspective, you know, it does not, you can't send someone to the gas. Whatever, it's not gas anymore.
You said this a second ago.
I know, but you can't fry anyone, okay? if you're not sure, you know, and based on just that, you know, I mean, she could be like just a terrible human being, you know.
Well, and, I think that's
you know,
that's been shown for the past 3 weeks that she's a terrible human being. But I, you know, I understand what you're saying from a legal point, but what you just completely can rule out just the evidence that just the fact that the truth is that for 30 days she didn't report this.
Right.
I as a juror member couldn't sit up there.
Right.
From even a legal standpoint and say, I'm going to throw that out because that's not clear cut evidence that you're connecting Kaylee's death with Casey's or Casey's death with Kaylee's death.
Right.
Or Casey. You know what I'm saying?
We get it.
Whatever the hell I'm saying. But you know, I couldn't as a juror sit up there and say, I'm just going to forget about this.
Right.
I couldn't do that. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. And, and I think that, I don't know what the F these jurors were on or doing or whatever, but man, I just, you know, at some point there's got to be some kind of guilt that these people have to live with, these jurors and, at some point, this has got to surface.
Yeah.
I think karma.
Well, yeah.
Reasons.
I mean, I think eventually the jury will discuss, you know, what happened there and stuff, because they could, I think they could get book deals too, can't you, from being a juror?
I
don't know, but
I would pray that they don't, just because I'm angry about it.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to cash in.
But they will talk eventually, you know.
But the fact that, you know, they already pegged Kristen Stewart to play Casey Anthony.
Really? They
already did that? Yeah, in a movie. Oh yeah, it was in the Entertainment the other day.
People don't waste any time, huh?
I understand that people are obsessed with it, but to that's not justice for a little girl.
Yeah.
Like it's not okay. Like, that doesn't bring her back to life or take away the pain of what happened. And I don't even know this girl, and I just. The love that I feel for this child is just like I would for any child,
right.
And my own child, my, you know, dogs. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are really connecting with that. And I think that that's what's so upsetting is just like there's no justice for this girl. There's no voice for her. None.
Right.
There was no voice that was brought into the courtroom for that little girl.
Well, isn't that what the prosecution was trying to
do?
Yeah.
You know, but it just, it's just, I'm so baffled. I'm really just hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know I'm taking this personally, but you know?
It's a little girl, you know, it's hard not to.
Yeah. My dad's like, should I call in? Dad, don't call in now. We're going to have a guest call in. He's going to go off about it. I'll tell you when you can call in, Pops. He's just so pissed. You should have heard him. I called him up yesterday and we started talking about it. And he was just like, he starts yelling at me. This is what my father does. My father has a temper like me. And he's very passionate about stuff. And I love that passion that he has because I get it from him too. But he starts laying into me. Like, I'm the effing juror. And I'm like, Dad, I'm not. Calm down. And so he was just like, I'm like, look, I got to go. I'll call you later. And so I called up my mom and I was like, did you talk to Dad about the Casey Anthony trial? He's like, I know. She goes, I know. I was like, I can't even talk to him. He started yelling at me about it. She goes, I know. He starts yelling at me. I was like, Jesus. He's so pissed. Which I like that he's passionate about it. It's just, you know.
He needs a forum to vent, and we'll give him that.
There we go. Dad, you can. Yeah. I'll tell you when to call in.
Yeah.
Because we have. When is our guest calling in?
Supposed to be calling in any moment.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah, so Dad will call after, so we'll bring it back around.
Yeah.
But on a different note, so we were talking about before we left yesterday, the Real Housewives of the Bible. I'm sorry.
Boy, that's a segue.
Do you like that one? Well, I said I was going to talk about it today, but whatever.
I mean, we've talked about the trial to death anyway in the past few weeks, you know.
Well, we'll talk about it after too with my dad. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Okay.
So the Real Housewives of the Bible.
Yeah. What's that about?
It's so this. I'm sorry. Choking. So this woman who. Something Adams, her last name. I can't think of her first name. But she started this production company called Heaven Enterprises back in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 years, she's given like Christian relationship advice. She's a Bible-going woman. And nothing wrong with that. And she says that she's seen the Real Housewives and she's seen Basketball Wives. And she thinks that, you know, this is just... It's not healthy showing people like relationships and, you know, things like that. So she's making this show, The Real Housewives of the Bible. It's a two-part DVD series, and it tracks six women, you know, dealing with the ups and downs of marriage as they strive to be good wives.
Yeah.
That's like the thing. So first of all, how boring is that going to be? Let's be honest. Because like, as much as like, I don't like, you know, the arguing and stuff like that and negativity, it makes for good drama. It makes for good TV.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think this is going to do.
So it's going to be about women that are religious. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's religious.
Cause I thought they were going to talk about actual characters from the Bible. And I'm like, what the hell is that about?
I don't even know what that means. No, it's a, God, I'm joking.
That should
today.
Be funny, huh?
Funny or a disaster.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I don't know. I mean, I believe in God. I believe in the universe. I believe in all that stuff. I think, you know, it's great that we can practice whatever religion we want to practice. And I don't believe that there's any one religion better than the other.
Right.
I just don't know how much drama that this is going to cause on the air, like these women having drama with each other.
Yeah.
And that's what sells is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Like the reason why Real Housewives is so good is because there is so much drama between the women.
Really?
Oh my God.
A lot
God.
Of tension
it's,
and
it's just,
fighting
it's
and stuff.
Crazy.
Wow.
It's so stupid and petty and ridiculous, but yet you still watch it.
Yeah.
You know, like that stupid show Mob Wives. So I watched. Have you heard of the show?
I've heard of it. Mob Wives.
It's on MTV. It's so bad. It's just like these four women that come from mob families or have married men that are in the mob.
Right.
It is so much drama. And these women act like they're the men and they like hold grudges and they get in fights. And they're like, my family, you know, is the most important thing to me. And you mess with my family, you know, I'm going to kill you. It's like, you know what? you need to settle down.
Yeah.
You really need to settle down. Like, it's so ridiculous, but it is a hit because there is so much drama between the women.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering it, how much drama is going to be if these women are is he calling in?
Yeah, he's okay, calling in. So let's continue with that in a few minutes. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Noel Biederman from Ashley Madison calling.
Yes, Noel. Good morning to you, and thank you for calling.
And good morning, Noel.
Where are you based? Are you in the States or are you in Canada?
I'm actually here in Toronto, Canada, but I spent a good great deal amount of time in the States heading down to southern Florida tomorrow.
I see. Okay. Well, obviously, you see, I've done some research. I know you guys are in Canada and stuff.
So the conscious reason, to be honest with you, you know, when we looked to create our service, mm-hmm. we genuinely felt that Canada represented a very culturally conservative place, wherein if we were successful there, we could make it anywhere. Versus, you know, how we started Ashley Madison in say Los Angeles. I don't know that the people of Des Moines would have adopted it or wouldn't have been proof positive. And so that was a conscious decision we made.
Right. Now, when did you found the site?
We actually found it back in 2002. To a lot of people, it feels like an overnight sensation. But we spent 5 years really working on a perfect product. And from that, you know, perspective, we meant that an affair had two components. We wanted to help people connect with somebody else. And most importantly, keep it undiscovered. And so we called that digital lipstick that people were continually leaving behind. It wasn't lipstick on your collar anymore, but kind of these text messages and voice messages and communications of a digital nature that you were leaving behind. And so we spent a long time trying to build a service that would allow for the utmost discretion, would mitigate all that, and hopefully lead to a more successful affair.
Right. So explain to people who have not heard of Ashley Madison, because we're talking about it because we already know.
Right.
But explain to us what that site is about.
You know, Ashley Madison is a dating service with a huge caveat. It's for people who are already in relationships. And while that takes people, you know, takes the wind out of their sails, we built it because, you know, back in 2000, you got to remember the dot-com bubble burst, but a lot of things had changed. You know, the way we listened to music was changed forever. The way people truthfully consumed adult content was changed forever. And the way they were dating was changing forever. You know, online relationships are now going to be the cornerstone for the source of tons of long-term marriages, but also for casual encounters. And the bottom line was, we came across some research indicating that 30% of people going to these so-called single sites were not single.
Wow,
they were using the anonymity of the internet to pretend to be something they weren't.
Right.
Well, I will say this really quickly. I've had a couple of people on Facebook friend me, and I'm not private, mm-hmm. and I keep myself not private only for business reasons, for networking and stuff. And I've had guys hit on me online saying, oh, you're so beautiful, whatever. And I've checked them out, just gone onto their page, and they're married.
Wow.
And I'll say back to them, Noel, I'll say really quickly, I'll say, you know, you're married, dude. And they're like, oh, that doesn't matter. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry it doesn't matter to you, but to me it does. So, and then I delete them because I'm like, you know what? That's all well and fine that you want to do that. I just don't care. Like,
right.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you're not in the market for that.
No, listen, right? I say to people all the time, my competitors, if there are any, are really the workplace where the majority of affairs still happen. Mm-hmm. Or places like Facebook where they happen but are bound to be discovered because they're not designed for that purpose. The majority of people coming there are going there to, you know, network or socialize with the circle of influence they know. At least in my community, people who sign up there really know what they're getting into. And so whether you like Ashley Madison or think it's abhorrent, I think society is still better off from cannibalizing affairs, which we know happens. We know that they're not going to happen because of a TV commercial or a radio spot we run. They're going to happen because life is complicated. And so is it not better off that it happens in the community of like-minded adults than in all these other unwanted places? I would argue it is.
Right. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of controversy and stuff about the site because, you know, many people do not look positively upon affairs and things like that. But nevertheless, so many people are involved in these affairs, you know. So I think there's kind of like a, you know, a phoniness in the way people react to this. What do you think?
Well, listen, I think that, you know, when public affairs happen, when the Wiener scandal, you know, Elliot Spitzer,
Arnold,
Tiger Woods, the list can go on and on. Mm-hmm. It always shocks me the level of shock and dismay that go on. At what point are we going to say, well, why are we shocked anymore? This is the 100th time this has happened. And so when people are in positions of power, when they take on careers where a lot of risk is involved in getting there, and so they're obviously not risk-averse people, when they're removed from their family and place and time, all those things, why are we surprised when these kinds of behaviors happen? I think we're only surprised because we seem to be adhering to this notion that America is made up of these leave-it-to-beaver families, where if we read our own census data, we'd know that 40-plus percent of children being born are being born to single moms right now, moms who are choosing the child and not the husband. People are living together, having children together, not getting married, choosing not to. There are more and more couples in open relationships. There are same-sex unions now being legalized in more and more states. Clearly, the institution is a major metamorphosis, and it's ridiculous to pretend that, you know, it's the same thing, it's the same world we lived in 60 years ago.
Right.
Right. I mean, though, no, I've heard things about your website, you know, well before Sam and I started talking about it. But, you know, what can you say to people out there that are like, well, this is, you know, people can say, you know, affairs go on, yes. But what can you say to people out there that's like, well, this website is promoting affairs? Because in a sense, Noel, you are. And you're making it.
What we're promoting is the notion that there's a better way to have an affair. Mm. That if you're going to have an affair, then having it in the workplace and risking your job or letting someone else ultimately benefit from possible unfair promotions or wherever because they're having an affair with the boss or on a singles dating site or visiting an escort, those all come with secondary problems. Those all come with, you know, collateral damage, if you will. Or at least in our community, when people sign up, everybody knows what they're getting into. I would say, and I would argue, that's you're better off. I don't need to promote affairs. I never would have started this business if I had to convince a single person to have an affair.
Right.
You can put me in front of a million people. I can talk to them one-to-one for hours straight. If they're in a happy relationship, there's no chance I'm going to persuade them to have an affair.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's why.
A 30-second TV commercial surely can't do that. And so this notion that I'm out there generating all these net new affairs, that's garbage. If Ashley Madison went away tomorrow, the gravitation towards affairs would still happen. We wouldn't stop a single one from taking place. What we're doing, though, is we're tackling a really challenging concept and a really challenging paradigm in America. And so that's what infuriates people, and it also raises their insecurities and all kinds of things. Because if I have 10 million members and I'm making all this kind of wealth behind it, oh, my God, is it possible that if not my friend, that my own partner or my own parent is actually behaving in this way too? If it's really every other person, then my goodness, you know, I'm involved in affairs.
Right. And now, but my big question is, you know, because I was thinking about this, you know, if people are in there for extramarital affairs, why would they put like a picture up there and all their information so, you know, friends, family could find out about
right.
it, you know?
It's a great question. You know, I think a couple answers, you know, a couple ways to look at it. One, there's a lot of single people on my service, you know. There's a sense of sisterhood. I got to tell you, it's very inaccurate. You know, if you're a single woman and for whatever reason are interested in being with an already taken man, I guess because in their mind, a good man is hard to find. And if someone else, you know, isn't taking care of them, they're happy to saddle up them. They're out there and they're very brazen about it. We know that mistress culture exists. And so they're doing it. You know, part two of that is many, many people say the same thing. There's no way my partner would ever believe I'm engaging in this kind of behavior, especially men seem to be very oblivious to their wives behaving like this. And so people do brazenly post photos, whatever. And then the last part is it's a very anonymous service. Yes, you can post private photos, and the majority do that. But a lot of people also say, hey, with the anonymous location, people sometimes sign up a profile. Let's say they're going on a business trip to L.A. They'll create an L.A. profile, but really they live in Wichita, Kansas. And so they don't believe there's an exposure risk and concern. It's all about your appetite for risk and what you're willing to consume.
I mean, I would be concerned just in the fact of, like, I said this to Sam the other day, like, if I was on it and then do you guys, how does this work? You match people with, or you just, you look through their profile or people's profiles and then you can choose?
No, listen, we're the platform that allows you to self-publish who you are and what brought you here. And then we open up the communication with other people. Sure, we do some stuff behind the scenes of displaying what we think are relevant members based on your history and the requests you made and all that kind of stuff. But no, I'm not interviewing people one-to-one and connecting them. That's up to you. If your appetite is to be with only another married person or a single person or someone of a certain ethnicity, you have to figure that out and find them. We have a very rich, robust database. We have just about every affair seeker on the planet using our service, and so that's what makes us successful.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I would be concerned if I was married and I went on the site and, like, all of a sudden I came across, you know, somebody, you guys maybe matched or whatever. I came across somebody I knew, like my wife or my husband's friend. You know what I mean? Like, that would scare me a little bit.
Yeah.
I would have to say. That would be a little bit.
It's why the majority of people tend to build these anonymous profiles, tend to put their private photo in place, and tend to create a level of communication before they start disclosing who they are. That
right.
is how 99% of the interactions on Ashley Masson participate.
Right.
Yeah. So they don't. The site doesn't really match people. It's just like you said.
Right.
They give him the platform,
okay.
the ability, and so forth. And you said that people can keep their pictures private. So I can see how that works. Now, my question also is for people that are curious. How is the what is the model? I mean, do people pay a subscription every month? How does it work?
So it's not a subscription service because that's really not how affairs play out, right? You know, it tends to be the busiest time in our service is Monday morning. Why? Because the weekend's full of expectations that don't get met, and that leads people to then, you know, want to jump into something different in their lives. And so we find this spike week after week on Monday mornings. And so what we decided to do was create more of a pay-as-you-play model, for lack of a better term. You sign up to Ashley Masson. You can create a level of communication with somebody else, and we keep that communication free forever thereafter. Why? Because we don't want you to have to take it to a personal device, a personal email address, those kinds of things where it could be discovered and could leave behind this digital trail. And so ultimately, only one party has to have these Ashley Masson tokens or credits, and once they've opened up their communication, it's free thereafter. That's really how it works.
Right. Now, I would also imagine there's probably like an imbalance. I know that usually it's like even on traditional dating sites, it's mostly like men pursuing the women and stuff. Is that pretty much the way it is on your side as well?
You know, interestingly enough, when we started, despite the brand name being Ashley Masson and all of our TV commercials and radio spots being geared towards women, we still had, you know, a disproportionate number of men sign up than women. And that's kind of played out. Yeah, in every country we've launched in, we're now in 14 countries, 5 languages. But what is interesting is it's moved from about 30% of the user base being female to over 40%, and that's really in the last 2 or 3 years. And included in that growth are really, you know, young married women who I think before they have children are trying to get a better sense and semblance of what a marriage actually feels like versus the myth they're being told by their parents who themselves may have even been divorced or whatever it ends up being. And so I think the trend is really on the female side. I think the digital world, for the most part, is evening a landscape that, you know, its first big jump in affairs was around female employment. And once they had the same opportunities in the workplace, that's when you saw the first jump in female infidelity. And even today, the more successful and independent a woman is in her career, the more likely she is to have an affair.
Right, yeah. Well, that makes sense. I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but we are out of time. We're talking to the CEO of Ashley Masson. What is your last name? Is it Bitterman or Biderman?
Bitterman.
Oh, Bitterman. Okay. Noel Bitterman, yeah. Of course, from Ashley Masson. I recommend everybody at least check it out if you're thinking about this. And
thank you so much, Noel.
Yes, Noel, thank you so much for giving us the time. And this is definitely a good conversation, I think.
It is.
You know?
I agree. Thank you, Noel.
Pleasure.
Okay,
pleasure.
All the best.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye. So,
wow, that was interesting.
Yeah, so that opens up the conversation, I think, for quite a bit, you know. But the thing is that, you know, I got to tell you, you know, and I feel the same way, is that when people sit there and criticize this, you know, these are the people that go and have affairs later, you know. I mean, you know, look at all this. Look at, like, Newt Gingrich, who wanted to get rid of Bill Clinton because of the affair while he was having his own affairs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's bullshit.
I agree. I respect that, like, Noel's created something, you know, to help people out, you know, to do it in a way that's maybe less stressful to them. But at the same time, you know, this is my argument here. And again, I'm not actually taking sides. I see both sides. I get it. You know, and like I said, I've been on both sides. I've done both.
Right.
My argument here, though, is, okay, so in a way, yes, they are promoting affairs. And
you see, I don't think they're promoting. You know, he's not telling you, hey, have an affair. You know,
I'm not saying that he's
actually
saying...
their commercials did say that.
Okay, I'm saying that. Thank you.
No, the commercials did say have an affair. You know?
Well,
but
there you go.
You know, I don't think it's promoting. I think it's making it easy for people to act.
Yes, but okay, hold on. Just hear me out for a second. It's ultimately somebody's decision whether to have an affair. Mm. So it's on them. Yeah. I'm not blaming Noel by any means.
Right.
But if you have something, an outlet there that's going to make it that much easier.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are going to take that out, okay?
Mm.
Which is great, fine, okay? You know what? If this is going to help you,
mm-hmm.
okay, but then isn't it promoting, okay, lying to your spouse, not really dealing with the situation with your spouse? If you have a problem, or if you don't love your spouse anymore, and you don't want to have sex with them, leave.
Right.
I understand. I get it. Look, I get it if there's kids involved. I get it. I get divorce sucks. I've been through a divorce. And I didn't even have the worst divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fight my husband for anything. I didn't ask for anything. And we didn't own anything together. I get it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you're really that unhappy, like, then you leave. Like,
right.
this is my, I don't understand. Like, then it's just prolonging the problem.
Right. You see, I totally agree with you. I mean, that's my view. But the thing is, many people feel, like you said, they don't want to give up the family. You know, they want to be able to have both. And, but, you know, at the same time, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, I think this site is for people that are already to cheat. You know, it's not like they're going to stumble upon it and go, oh, you know, wow, I didn't think about it. But now they're making it easier, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I can see in a way where, and you know, obviously it works because, I mean, they're making a lot of money.
Exactly.
They're making
doing
a lot
it.
Of
they're
money.
They're successful.
You know, and...
And I understand they are ready to cheat. I get that.
Right.
I do understand both sides here. I just, you know, for... It's the not being honest with your family.
Right.
Or your wife or your husband.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like... It just comes down to respect.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if the roles were reversed, would that person be okay with it?
Right. But you see, again, you're asking, you know, is cheating okay?
I can't judge on that because I've done both.
Right. But, I mean, but obviously you feel, and I think many people feel, that cheating is not a good thing. It doesn't help marriage. It humiliates the people.
Yeah.
And,
but it's the guilt you live with. It's common. It's respect for somebody.
Right.
You know, that's where it comes down to. I learned a lot from me cheating.
Mm.
I learned, and then I learned a lot from being cheated on.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Both sides. And then what it comes down to is just, I don't want to hurt anybody. Like my goal isn't, you know, so I need to have enough respect and be mature enough to say, look, if I don't want this anymore, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And even if for 1 minute I'm going to entertain being with somebody and I'll be and I can live in this fantasy world and say, oh, I'm just going to try it once. If you're going to try it once. You're going to try it a million times.
Yeah.
It's not just one time. It doesn't end just one time.
Yeah.
Because if you get a taste for it and you get away with it, it's an addiction. Then you're going to go to the next thing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's just not one time.
Right.
So I'm not telling people how to live their lives. I'm not bashing their site. I think that it serves its purpose, and I'm happy that he's successful. And if people want to do this, that's great. But I can't not say that, you know, this isn't promoting something that is necessarily healthy for somebody else.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I see your point of view, and that's why it's so controversial and stuff. But, you know, and I think they got a good business model because, like you described, you're not getting a subscription. This is like, you know, when you are really hot for someone, then you take out your wallet and your credit card, you know, because you buy, like, credits and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the credits allow you to contact other people and that sort of thing.
I see what he was saying.
Yeah.
So there's no... there's no trail mark here. There's no digital trail. There's no...
Well, there is from the credit card, I'm sure.
Okay.
Once you pay...
Do they charge, say, Ashley Madison?
I don't know what it says, but the thing is that...
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely a trail, you know.
Well, that's what I was thinking, and I forgot to ask him, but is that... you know, because he was saying that there's no trail, there's no digital trail.
Right, like so, you're anonymous. I mean, look, as far as to the users of the site, you're anonymous. But what I'm saying is that the site could probably trace you if they wanted to.
Right, but so if the wife gets a hold of the credit card bill,
right,
can she see that there's a charge for Ashley Madison, or do they charge something else?
They probably say they probably have a different name or something, you know, I'm sure.
Because
like
this
porn,
isn't...
Like porn sites do, you know, they have different, like, legitimate names and stuff.
Right, right, right.
But I think, you know, a wife would still question those charges, you know.
Oh, of course. If she has any kind of... What's the word I'm looking for? I almost just made up a word. I'm not going to say it because it would sound really stupid. I'm just going to leave it. But no, I if a woman has any inkling of that her husband's
that
cheating,
something's happening, yeah.
You know, then she's going to go look, and then she's going to follow that, you know, and, right, and go forward with that. I don't know, man. I really don't. Again, I don't take any side. I don't. I see both sides, though. You know.
Yeah.
I get why people want to do it, and I guess it's the smarter way to do it.
Yeah.
I would think,
yeah,
but I don't know.
And for women, it works. I bet you the women don't even spend a dime. You know, I mean, the guys spend all the money. You know. I mean, a woman, all she has to do is be there, and everybody's gonna like jump all over
right,
her.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
No, so, I think it's a. You know what? It's a service. It's provided to people. If it helps people, great. I'm not going to sit here and judge. I'm not.
Yeah.
There's by no means am I perfect, and I've made mistakes in my life, and I can't sit here and judge, and I'm not going to. You know, to each his own.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I will judge Casey Anthony.
You will, huh? Okay.
Just her.
And by the way, the name Ashley Madison was taken from the two most popular girl names.
Oh.
And at the time when he started the site. Yeah.
Oh, and when did he start?
He said 2002 or something,
2002.
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So, yeah, and I remember when it first came out, it was pretty out there, you know. I mean, they started advertising on Howard Stern, mm-hmm, and I think that helped him quite a bit.
Oh,
you know?
God, yeah.
And because I never would have heard of it otherwise, you know, so
yeah,
you need a lot of but, you know, I mean, they were on the cover of Business Week, believe it or not, you know, I mean, about
I
their
it.
Business and stuff. So
I'm obviously he's a successful and smart businessman, and he's making it work, and, you know, good for him. Again, I don't think the Real Housewives of the Bible would appreciate this site.
No.
I don't think any one of these, when they're having a downtime in their marriage, would go onto the site and register. I think that would be going against the Bible. I don't know. I'm just going to guess. I've never read the Bible.
Have have you ever seen The Church Lady with Dana Carvey?
No. He does The Church Lady?
Yeah. He's like, he looks like an older woman who is like, you know, like just very religious and stuff, you know.
Right.
And he sits there and she starts doing her monologue and stuff, and she refers to Satan, and isn't that special?
I have not seen this.
You've
got
to catch
him.
This,
I got to download it. Oh my God, I love
he's
him.
Amazing.
I think he's hilarious. What is he doing these days?
These days, I don't know.
Living off of his money?
Probably.
You know, I saw Wayne's World 5 times in the theater.
Really?
5 times. I was 11 or 12 years old when that came out, and I saw it 5 times in the theater.
Wow.
I thought it was so freaking funny. I still think it's funny. I watch it every time it comes on.
Yeah.
That and Dumb and Dumber. Every time that movie comes on, I watch it. That movie to me is genius. The two, Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Do you can you say that you actually like that movie, please?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
No, I like that movie a lot.
Yay.
I thought it was very funny. You know?
I love it.
Was that the part where they were also in Colorado and he had to sit on the toilet and he was shitting? And,
That's the part you remember.
Yeah.
You're such a guy.
How can you not remember?
You're such a guy.
And I remember his tongue freezing on the...
on the pole when he goes skiing with
her. Yeah, on the lift.
Her pets' heads are falling off. That's one of my favorite lines in there. I love them. They're just, they're such talented actors, and they're so good together. And, you know, that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't always make, there's not always a great comedic team like that, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, Dana and what's his name? Austin Powers. What's his name?
I know what you mean.
Those two in Wayne's World were phenomenal.
Yeah.
I can't.
How come I forget his name too?
What is wrong? One of us needs to remember it. Oh my God, I'm going through every single name in the Austin. All I can think of is Austin Powers.
Yeah, we'll figure it out in just a second.
Is it Mike?
Mike Myers.
There we go.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
There we go. Wow, Mike that Myers. Was difficult for me. Oh my God, I'm slowly becoming my mother. It's not good. I'm going to be calling people by the way. I did call. I have it. We have it. When I called somebody, what did I call him? Gary Shandler? Shandling? What's his real name?
Shandling.
And I called him Gary Shandler. You go, no, it's Gary Shandling. Whoops. Sorry, Gary. You're listening.
It's okay. There's a lot of information we got to keep between our ears.
I know. We got to remember stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Come on now.
You know?
Come on now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we were talking about, to be honest.
Well, Ashley Madison and stuff, but oh, you mean before that? Yeah, who cares?
I don't. Who cares?
But I just wanted to bring up that I guess, you know, when people would commit suicide in the military, the government would not send condolences to the families. And don't ask me why. I mean, that's a terrible thing. So
that's unbelievable.
Now they decided to lift that ban. And, yeah, because, you know, I mean, many people demonize suicide, and you can understand that and stuff, you know. I mean, you've taken a life, even if it's just your own.
Right.
But at the same time, you got to remember also it's usually victims of mental illness.
Sure.
And, you know, and things like that,
sure.
You know. So you can't just go and punish them and stuff, you know.
Right.
But also many religions have special rules for suicide and stuff, you know.
Oh, well, a lot
of religions. Yeah, like they'll bury you. I think in Judaism, the very Orthodox, they'll bury you outside the cemetery.
Oh,
they won't
really?
Bury you inside the cemetery.
Well, I know it's looked down upon in most religions. I know in the Catholic religion it is.
Yeah.
Not that I know much about the Catholic religion, but we were baptized Catholic. So, but yeah, it is looked down upon in a lot of religions. Why did you bring that? Did something happen? Or
they lifted the ban.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so now they are going to send condolence letters to
as
families.
As they should,
and
because you know what? These families are just as tore up about it. I mean, they're grieving, you know? I mean, it's a loss of their child. No matter how it happens, whether somebody murdered them or whatever, they still lost a child.
Yeah, it's a tragedy, you know, and you don't want to, like, you know, demonize them and stuff, you know. It's just not, especially not to the family.
Right,
not to make it any worse, you know.
Right. Well, you know what? I think that's good. I think that's honorable, and I think that's showing compassion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, yes, it could be a lot of times it's mental illness, but if they're in the military too, maybe it's stuff that they've seen. I mean, that they can't handle.
Right.
Stuff they've done.
Absolutely.
Stuff they've seen.
You know, I mean, it's usually mental stuff. You know, post traumatic shock and that sort of thing. You know.
Yeah. So. I can't imagine seeing what they've seen and be okay.
Yeah. I know.
I can sympathize. I can't empathize because I can't even fathom what goes on there and what they have to deal with and do. And
yeah, I know. Watch their buddies get blown away and
friends and then do it to other people. I just.
Yeah.
It's hard. I really have no words to say because I really don't know.
Mm.
And I can't really understand.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, you know, I mean, that's a situation, and
you know, I want to talk about this 2 minutes, but you know, Harry Potter is coming out.
Yes.
Okay. Big Harry. I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
But I was Daniel Radcliffe, who plays Harry Potter. He's 21 now.
Mm.
He's coming out talking about he was an alcoholic and he went to rehab.
Really?
And I was like, obviously, I mean, he started shooting these when he was. Well,
yeah,
this is like
very young, right?
Very
like
young.
Maybe 13 or
13
something?
Or 14, something like that.
Right.
And he started drinking to deal with fame.
Wow.
And he couldn't, because he couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
And now he's saying he went to rehab and he's kicked the habit. He's, you know, he's no longer drinking. And I applaud him for that. It's got to be really tough. But we were talking about this one time on the show a couple weeks ago about just people getting fame that quickly.
Right.
This overnight success.
Right.
And how can they deal with it? And something as big as Harry Potter. I mean, actors, we can have success, but you can't even fathom reaching this kind of success, most actors.
Yeah.
Because this is beyond any phenomenon. Right. I mean, this is just...
He's more than famous.
It's more than famous. It's like he's like a god, you know? He's like Oprah in a sense. He's just, you know, he's Harry Potter.
Right.
He's the guy. So to have that, to deal with that, that's got to be...
Yeah.
That's got to be pretty tough to deal with, and the only way he could deal with it, unfortunately, he said, was to drink.
Yeah.
But I thought that was I wonder how much that, I mean, that does happen in the entertainment world, obviously a lot, you know, drugs and people get caught up in it, but to even have that, I mean, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
I wonder if he's going to be able to find any roles that that don't pigeonhole him as Harry Potter.
That's a good question. I wonder what he's going to do after this.
Yeah. Well, who knows? We'll leave that for you guys to figure out. And thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.